Now, Curtis, they released him before they excommunicated him. With me, my excommunication was my release.
Yeah, it took away all my fun church jobs, temple recommend. Curtis, I had a lot more free time.
Curtis took this little pamphlet I wrote up that I just wrote up for to give to pretty much for my own use and to give it to anybody that might, you know, find it interesting. And Curtis was the first guy I give it to. He thought, boy, this is really good. It shows us progress from one of the kingdoms to the other. And so I said, no, Curtis, be careful who you show this to, or it could get you in trouble. And he says, how can you get in trouble with this? This is innocent. So he goes home and he shows it to everybody. He shows it to his elders, quorum president. And I think he even told a Sunday school class about it, didn't you, or something?
I got in the most trouble for teaching kids. They wanted to know what happened to the wicked people when they died. And I told them that if the crime had a beginning and an end, so would the punishment. And they would be able to be reborn and start their progression all over. Basically, I taught reincarnation to kids. And they went home and told their parents, who, like 1 week later, 2 weeks later, went and told the bishop. And the phone rang. And we discovered Onias and a couple other things.
But you knew they were going to do this to you, right? I mean, you said...
I didn't have a clue. I thought, well, how can they hurt me for teaching?
You seriously thought there was going to be
eternal? Well, I never used the R word.
Pardon?
I never used the R word.
You never said reincarnation.
I just was teaching eternal progression, basically. Is that we always continue no matter what, in one form or another. And that we can come back. I don't know what I taught. I was 40 years ago. But it wasn't anything that I thought would get me in real trouble. I know
the bishop was really offended by that pamphlet, and he called you and relieved you of all your jobs, told you you're going to have a trial for you in 3 days.
Yeah, about a week later.
But even before I was excommunicated, I was a seminary instructor for about 5 years. And this didn't get me excommunicated, but it was the first really sign of trouble. I was usually pretty careful with what I said. But I thought, well, you know, I can teach these kids something. I don't think it will get me in trouble. And I was wrong on that. And I said, well, you kids, would you like to learn how to see your spirits? He said, see your spirits? Yeah, I can show you how to see your spirits. He said, yeah, okay. So, and I've done this to the group. I've showed them how to see the etheric body. You hold up your thumbs against, that background is good there. Hold up your thumbs against it. Put your thumbs together and then pull them slowly apart until there's about a quarter inch space between your thumbs, and then look at that empty space and you'll see a film next to your thumbs. Do you see that film?
Sometimes you can see an electrical spark jump through.
Yeah, you can see that film, and I said, that film is your spirit. They say, wow, this is really great. I can see my spirit. So they all went home to their parents and said,
oh, Lord.
Yeah, Mr. Dewey, Brother Dewey taught us how to see our spirits.
Oh, no.
And so about a couple days later, I was released as some teacher.
Oh,
so that was, I thought that was pretty innocent. I didn't think I'd get in trouble over that, but that taught me a lesson. That's why I kind of warned Curtis. It kind of woke me up to the fact that, you know, I'm careful about what I say, but it looks like you need to be super careful about what I say. Okay, did you see your spirit? Did you guys see it? The film?
I hope so.
I don't know. Is that what that was?
This brown background isn't as good. This background, the lighter background is better. That background is better.
I didn't know that. But the lighter really, I never ever could do it before until you did it against.
Yeah, the lighter the better.
That's
or this.
It's true.
The lowest.
I never could do it.
No, pull your thumbs apart really slowly. Just put your thumbs together like that and then pull them apart really slowly, looking at the empty space in between until you get it about a quarter inch apart. And then stare at the empty space right in between your thumbs and you'll see a film.
White?
Did you see it?
Yeah,
it's a movie shot. Yeah. And that's your etheric body. That's the double of your physical body that you're seeing. It extends about a millimeter away from your skin. Okay, I'm going to end with this statement about the power of the word. Remember last night, I was talking about the Ancient of Days, how he turned his back on the sun and become a son to those that he wanted to help. He was applying the Christ principle. In other words, he was anointed to deliver. He was attempting to deliver those lower in evolution than himself and bring them up to where he is. And he's committed to doing this until the last weary pilgrim finds his way home. When I said that, you know, the first time, you know, everything seemed normal. But then I said it a second time. And I said, he turned his back on the sun and become a son to those who he wanted to assist. Okay? Now, what was interesting, and this affected me very strongly emotionally. And the reason why was because the saying it twice forced my attention to identify with those words. Very powerful words. And when you identify strongly with the word, you begin to sense the power in the words. So think of that statement as just one word. He turned his back on the sun and became a son to the lesser lives. And he was committed to their advancement until the last weary pilgrim finds his way home. Think of that as one word. And if you really think of that, if you become absorbed in that word, it will almost choke you up. Because when you think of the sacrifice that some of the greater lives have made for us, when you think of the sacrifice of Christ as the most one that we have the most information on, that was the great sacrifice. What'd say?
Could you say it again?
He turned his back on the sun and became a son to the lesser lives and is committed to their advancement until the last weary pilgrim finds his way home. And it's not just that, but any words that portray pure truth, if you identify with them, you will feel the spirit in those words. If you feel the spirit in those words, it will just about choke you up, because the words are God, and the power of God is in all the words that appear and uncorrupted. All the pure and uncorrupted words, even the corrupted ones, are corrupted power of God. But the pure words that portray the pure thoughts of God are the most powerful of all. And if we can identify with them, if we can identify with the word forgiveness at the appropriate time, if we can identify with the word pure spiritual love or the love of Christ, all these words, if we can identify them with them enough, we can find the spirit within the words. When the spirit is found within the words, it will have a powerful effect on you, and you can understand that the word is God. And eventually, when that understanding is complete, you'll even have power over life and death. And that's will be one of the keys, like I say, of it's a key of knowledge and a key of eternal life, the most important key of them all, if it's correctly understood. So what I want everyone to do is contemplate that phrase, the word is God. Just think about it as you're going about your activities, and every once in a while just remind yourself the word is God. And if you remind yourself enough, energy follows thought. And because energy follows thought, you'll get inspiration as time goes on and get a fuller meaning. Okay, any questions before we dismiss for the night? Yeah.
Just the thought, a couple thoughts. The initiate, the avatar, comes and imparts truth at a high level, and then the majority of people can't get it. And DK talks about the idea, which originates on a Buddhic plane, descending onto the mental plane, becoming clothed in mental matter. And then as it descends, it becomes the ideal and eventually the idol. And so the thought form becomes crystallized, and the lower it gets, up here most people can't get it. They don't have the ability to think, but the more it comes down and gets densified, perhaps, more and more people are, they don't necessarily understand the original teaching, they twist it to their level of understanding. And so that's why the beauty of the Sermon on the Mount gets turned into the Inquisition. You know, he also said the majority of people
idle. That's a good way to word it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that happens.
Well, still, continually. And, you know, he also makes the point the majority of people function astrally always. So they're responding out of emotion, not thinking. So hopefully when those truths are enunciated, that helps elevate people. But for the most part, they're going to get pulled down. And I think that happens with spiritual truth and just other forms. So that was my main thought.
Good thinking. Okay.
Appreciate everybody's participation. And give yourself a big hand.